Romans chapter 3. I want you to imagine for a moment this is the first time you've been invited into my home. And you know that we're believers. And we bow our heads and we pray. We hold hands. And we give thanks. Thanks for daily bread and God's marvelous grace. Today the Lord has invited us to commune with Him. We have been doing that together as we've been singing, as we've been reading, as we've been hearing about what God is doing throughout our fellowship, and as we were praying for others around the world in our adult Bible fellowship. But why do we have that privilege? Why do we get invited to someone's home? Why do we get invited to break bread with God? Well, normally you extend hospitality to people because you want to demonstrate your love. You want to share something that's, well, it's not simply just the food, of course, but a friendship. In the case of believers, it's about brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping God. And so today is a very special time. We break bread here once a month. My background is that we used to break bread every week, and again, I certainly enjoyed that. But if this is something that's new for you, then I just want you to realize that God has invited you to come and commune with Him, to get to know Him that much better. In Romans chapter 3, as Paul was writing to these Gentile believers, he wanted them to appreciate what they had received. All too often, people are looking for their own righteousness. I want to prove to God that I'm worthy. Well, I'm sorry. When it comes to the gospel, the good news is this, that you could never prove that you're worthy of His grace. No, grace is extended to all, regardless of who you are or what you have done. And so in verse 21 it says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. Of course, we believe that God had used the law in the Old Testament and still uses the law in a matter of speaking, but uses the law as a means to help us appreciate that God is holy. And at any time that you and I transgress His law, we find ourselves in a difficult place. Yeah, we need and deserve to be judged. But God extended His grace to us so that we no longer have to come under that judgment, as it were. So there is a righteousness apart from the law that's been made known, to which the law and the prophets, meaning the Old Testament, testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith. Through faith in a relationship. Relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus means, of course, Savior. God saves. Christ means the Anointed One. The one who was appointed. And so this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we read that verse, we often share it with people and help them understand that we all fall short, true enough. We all recognize that today. There's nothing that you could possibly do that would say you have earned a right to be here. No, you're here at God's command, having placed your trust in Christ and have received His grace and knowledge of sins forgiven and granted the gift of eternal life. He says, come and be around my table. Let's hold hands together. Let's commune. Let's fellowship. It goes on to say here that you and I are declared righteous. The word here in our Bibles is justified. It's a hard and difficult term to convey at times because it's not language that we use every day. But God has determined that the moment that you placed your trust in Christ, he says, I declare you righteous by virtue of your faith. I can do that because I'm extending my grace to you. And by virtue of that fact, I call you a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you're now part of my family. And because you're part of my family, I now invite you around my table so that we can share the most intimate moments of communion. It says here, we're justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. It was his blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so why did he do this? Well, he did it to demonstrate his justice. In other words, God is dealing with all of the sin of all people. He has dealt with it all for all of humankind. God has reconciled himself to man. We read in 2 Corinthians 5. Now man needs to reconcile himself to God. And we do that by faith. Over to chapter 5 for a moment. Verse 1, therefore, Paul says, now that you have that understanding, now that you've come to appreciate and have extended, expressed faith in the person of his son, you've received his grace. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. In other words, there's no more war. No more war between us. God has made it possible to be at peace. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. By faith, we have access now into the grace of God. Well, how do I have access into the grace of God? How is that seen? Well, that happens every day as you confess your sin. Does he have to forgive you? No, he doesn't have to. He's chosen to. That, too, is an expression of his grace. In fact, every time that you sin against another person, any time that person forgives you, that's an act of grace. They're not obligated to forgive you, apart from what God has said. God is saying to us and commanding us to extend grace to those who confess their sin. And so, as we break bread, we do so standing and having access into the grace of God. And invite the other men to participate. Come and share something that the Lord's laid on your heart. And then we'll continue.
Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, how you've, first of all, given us eternal life, and then also given us the ability to overcome the sinful life here on earth by trusting in you. And just pray that you'd give each one of us strength to do that each day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. I'd like to read from starting at verse 16 to the end. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for your great gift of love, Lord, the sacrifice that you provided so that we could be completely set free. Thank you for the great, the unspeakable love that you've displayed to us. And I pray, Father, as we're reminded of that again, I pray that this is the type of love that we will display to the people around us. Help us to love, Lord. Give us the strength. We can only do it as you enable us. And I just pray that that will be our desire. In Jesus' name.
Something that I've been thinking about a lot lately is what kind of fruit I've been bearing. And in Luke 6, 43 to 45, it says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So, I mean, I shared this with a small group the other night, and it's something that has been really thinking about, making sure that I'm bearing good fruit so that people can see what a Christian means. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and the truth that it brings to us, and the reminder that it is that you sent your Son for us and that we can trust in him. And Lord, I just pray that each person here would think about what kind of fruit they're bearing as we try to portray a godly image to our friends and our families and coworkers. Just pray that you bless this morning as well, and each person here in the day. Just pray this in your name. Amen.
Serving this morning, if you'd come forward at this time. Back to Romans 5, just to read a couple more verses here. 5 verse 6, you see, at just the right time, timing is everything. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, that's me. That's you. It's every human being. Christ died. Why? Not because we deserved it, not because we're God, but because we're helpless in need of a Savior. And so we break bread and are invited to be around his table because he loves us. Verse 9. Since then, or rather since we have now been justified by his blood, acquitted of our guilt, declared righteous, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, rescued, delivered from? How does that happen day in and day out? Well, it happens as we break bread, as we confess our sin, as we seek to lead godly lives, as we walk humbly before each other, do our best in our places of work, and love our families, and be godly husbands and godly wives. But that too is an act of God's grace. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, again, how much more? Verse 9, how much more? How much more? How much more? Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. That's what Paul writes at the end of the chapter as he introduces chapter 6. How much more? Having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Yes, certainly the example. Paul talks about in Philippians 3:10, he says, want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, so somehow join Him. Yeah. You want to be more like the Lord? Then come to His table. Let Him have His hand on your life. Confess where you fail. To your family, your wife, your husband, brothers and sisters in Christ, even to the world. Wherever you fail, confess. And in so doing, God brings life. Life, the abundant life. Clear conscience, where you experience the peace of God. We read about in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let's give thanks for the loaf. Thank you, Lord, for the emblems before us. Again, as we were reading, how that although we were ungodly and sinful, you died for us. Your word says, and even as you expressed it to your disciples, greater love has no man than this, and he lay down his life for his friends. Lord, we, even though we'd be willing as husbands to lay down our lives for our wives, our families, even though as wives be willing to lay down our lives for our husbands and our children and so on, we realize, Lord, that that wouldn't deliver us from the penalty of sin. Only Your life could do that. Only Your blood could do that. And so as we break bread, we're reminded of the body that was broken, the sacrifice that was given, and the blood that was shed. And Your cry from the cross where You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, Lord, we're grateful today for the grace that's been extended to us. We thank You also, Lord, that we're part of a body of believers, men and women, only representative here in this local church, but all throughout the world as well, throughout the community, where people gather together to worship You, to sing and to pray and to praise You. Thank You, Lord, that we're part of a company of brothers and sisters around the world who are also, in light of what we've read here today, are also laying down their lives for others. So as we pass the loaf from one to another, may we be reminded of the unity that You've extended to us, to be part of Your family, and that that unity is to be expressed in our desire to live together in peace, to love one another deeply from the heart. And so may You bless these acts of worship, as imperfect as they are. We just thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Only bread, but representative. The broken body, life that was given and sacrificed. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.
Let's pray. Lord, we come to You again. It's hard to find words to really express the great, great gift that You've given to us. your willingness to allow your body to be broken and your blood to be shed. I pray, Father, as we partake of the cup, just pray that we will be reminded again of that great and wonderful gift that you've given to us. And Lord, we just ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? In the same way, after supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. I ask you to stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. You know the journey that we've had in this past week. You know, Lord, that some lives are complicated and people are grieving and people are ill. People that are on our hearts that we're praying for. And thank you, Lord, that as we've just had some time to reflect and to meditate upon your grace today, how free we really are, free from the penalty of sin and free from the power of sin. And then one day, Lord, we'll be free from the presence of sin. Father, go with us now as we go to our respective homes and we gather with family and friends around our tables, and we seek to honor you. We pray that you would use our lives in this coming week, and that we might be light, we might be salt, that we might represent you as you deserve, and that we might lead our families and honor you in our places of work, that all things that we say and do would be bringing you glory, bringing you honor. So thank you, Lord, for each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake.